Hello and welcome to the 16th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by the Isle of Man FA manager Paul Jones and his counterpart Declan Devine from Derry City. Well, sort of. First of all, Dave, I suppose we should come clean and admit neither Paul or Declan are with us in Podcast HQ this week, aren't they?
No, I guess they're here in spirit, aren't they?
Yeah, but fear not, I froze my chats off last night to get you, the dear listener, the finest post-match reaction a Samsung smartphone can.
Other smartphones are available.
Of course, yes, we don't wish to favour one smartphone over the other, but yes, I've got some post-match reaction. We'll talk about that game now. I think we should call this podcast the Derry Boys 2.
Yeah.
This time it's flipping freezing.
More than freezing.
Yeah. Obviously, last week's podcast, those of you who tuned in, was all about the preview. We had Paul in live with us. Yeah.
Yes, he was in person.
Yes, he was here. Yeah, enjoying the biscuits.
I'm a bit disappointed there weren't any biscuits this week.
Well, I thought we'd best, new year, new me, lose a bit of weight.
Well, I certainly need to.
Take the opportunity, we didn't have to provide for a guest that we shouldn't maybe not go for a biscuit this week. But nevertheless, so yes. That was at the Bowl, or Ice Station Zebra,
yep,
last night to watch the Isle of Man FA take on Derry City, League of Ireland side Derry City. The latter winning 2-0 to culminate the... they were over for 4 days, weren't they?
They were, a good little training camp for them, and they were full of praise for the Ireland, weren't they?
Yeah, and we'll obviously have some reaction from Declan Devine in a minute. But yes, Adie Delap and Patrick McLean scored goals in each half to take the win last night. But I have to say, it was a game of probably only about half a dozen goal-scoring chances. Both teams cancelled each other out. But yes, praise for both sides, as you'll hear in a minute, for the Isle of Man's back three of Al Harrison, Jack McVeigh, and of course Ryan Burns. So yes, as well as many other players. But both teams cancelled each other out for large spells. But it was nevertheless quite an entertaining game. Derry showed there. Although it was a young Derry side, their professional quality, as you know, the first touch, the pass was all there.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in your report they've got a winger that was on trial at Colchester.
Well, the winger was actually, he played for Colchester, he was on trial at Derry last night,
yeah.
Junior Ogeji. He looked strong, quick, and scored, been playing in the National League for Bromley this season. A good test then
for the defence.
Yeah, and Mark Russell was the other trialist they had on show last night. He played in the Scottish Championship with Green at Morton, of course, and he started the season at Falkirk this year. Quick googling of all their players this morning, I might add, Dave.
That's your footy manager knowledge, mate.
I wouldn't go that far. But yes, it was a good test for the Isle of Man. Paul Jones, as you're hearing again, I keep promoting this audio, which you
keep the people teasing, hooked. Teasing them.
Was very proud of the Isle's performance.
Well, it was also, it was a good turnout by the stands, but given the conditions yesterday, given that obviously a lot of people probably just fancied staying in front of the TV and indoors, there was still about 500 people there, weren't there?
Yeah, I emailed Kevin Maitland at the FA today. He's confirmed that the attendance was just over 500 last night, which is great, considering I had to scrape ice off my seat last night as I sat down at the Bowl. I think it was about -1. That's what the old faithful Volvo in-car temperature was telling me. So,
I would have loved to have gone down to watch this match, but if I had, Andy would be recording this podcast on his own right now.
Yeah,
so.
You're no Scott of the Antarctic.
No, right? I have pathetic lungs, so there you go.
Right, without further ado, let's listen to the thoughts of the two managers, starting off with Paul Jones and then Derry City legend, I think I'm going to call him, Declan Devine, who was quick to play down speculation about another Derry City legend, Paddy McCourt, coming out of retirement after he was named on the bench last night for the visitors. Just a bit of a story about this. I managed to get the team sheet off the refs last night and posted a picture, and on the Derry City bench was one Patrick McCourt.
Yes.
Paddy McCourt, as he's better known, Northern Irish international, Celtic he played for, Barnsley, Brighton, as well as, of course, Derry and a few other clubs around the League of Ireland.
Otherwise known as the Derry Pelly.
Derry Pelly, 35-year-old. He's recently returned to the club as a coach, purely there in a coaching role. There was speculation on Twitter last night that this might be the start of a comeback for the Derry Pelly, but Declan, as you'll hear shortly, he was quick to knock that speculation out of the park. Paul, narrow 2-0 loss to Derry City there, but you must be pleased with the performance.
Really, really pleased. There was a decent number of people down here tonight, and I really want to get over the fact that a load of amateur players from the Isle of Man, who, by the way, treat themselves and work like professionals, just ran a League of Ireland professional group of players really, really close.
League Cup winners last season.
League Cup winners last season. And it's a very different squad, but they've been working 3 for 3.5 weeks now on building for the new season, and as the manager said to me after the game there, that's the best game they've had of all the game, their pre-season games so far, and that's against, you know, Premier League division sides over in Ireland. So I'm exceptionally proud of the bunch. We did really well. We competed. We had really good shape about us, good organisation, and had a couple of opportunities to score maybe and take a chance. And two mistakes from our point of view can, you know, led to the goals. But
we've talked about that before, haven't we? Said this is the level of play now, that mistakes are punished. Yeah, and potentially on a Saturday, the lads may make the same mistake and it wouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what the difference in quality makes.
Yeah, it? Completely. And it, I mean, they're not massive mistakes, and they're not, you know, previously 2 years ago, we were poor clearances or miskicking balls, do you know what I mean? And really daft mistakes that were conceding goals. But this is, you know, it's not that severe. You know, it's a player making an underlap rather than an overlapping run that cost us a counter-attack, and they just, you know, they two passes later, it's in the back of our net, and then a corner right at the end when we're a bit tired. But, I mean, the best thing about it is, you know, all 20 players or 19 players got on the pitch. They all showed that they could contribute at this level of football. And it was, although I wasn't planning on making lots of changes as the game went on, it was like, well, let's go and see whether how good a group we've got. And we've got a bloody good group, and we can be really proud of an island of this group of players. And as I said to them in there, you know, we're really proud of what they've done, but we're very excited about what we could go on and do with this group. But you also look at some of the lads who are off Ireland who could come into it potentially, and some of the lads who weren't available for tonight. And if we can get a few more games like this, then you never know how good we can be.
As you say, I spoke to Declan just before I was speaking to you, and he's very complimentary, not about tonight, but the trip as a whole. We had you in last week on the podcast, and you said this is hopefully something we can start making almost a football attraction, you know, it's a tourist facility, and hopefully he'll go back and tell his colleagues in the League of Ireland what,
well,
you know.
Yeah, as they said to me, I've spent a little bit of time with them over the last 3 days, and, you know, everyone in Ireland knows they're here. It's, you know, it's all over their social media, but also in the League of Ireland, and we're hoping that they go back and say nice things about us. And, you know, Declan's well known in Irish football, and we hope that it's the start of being able to attract teams over for games, but yes, for maybe two or 3 days sort of training camps, and use the island as a bit of a base to prepare and know that they're going to come and get a good game of football out of it as well. So yeah, it's the start of a process. We're not going to get games here every month straight away. But, you know, maybe over the next kind of 6 months, year, if we can keep performing like this and giving running teams really, really close, then, you know, that might happen. I mean, the Wolves, that's probably tonight a better performance than we did against Wolves, and
wow,
we beat Wolves.
Wow.
Because you're playing against a team of men who are preparing for a season, who are preparing to go and win a league.
Some of them are trying to win contracts as well. There's
exactly
a couple of trialists on show tonight as well.
Yeah, the Wolves were, don't get me wrong, they're professional footballers, but in the Premier League, it's all about possession, and they're trying to keep the ball, and they actually gave us lots of opportunity to get into shape and win the ball back. Tonight, the speed of the game was a lot quicker. Derry tried to play forwards a lot quicker than Wolves did, and we were able to maintain our organisation and structure and keep the ball at times really, really well. And that was the most encouraging thing. You know, it's great that a good number of people came down, but again, I just wish more people who enjoy football on the island were here just to see how good the players can be, because they don't play like that on a Saturday because they don't have to.
But
if you can push them and stretch them, then you get something like that, and hopefully we can do it a little bit more over the next 12 months and see how good they can be.
And this is all great preparation for the Inter-Island Games in June, isn't it?
It's fantastic. You know that's a great competition, and it's a lovely thing to do with the island and go and represent the island in that forum. But that standard of football there that they've played tonight is head and shoulders above the level of competition that they would have to play at the Island Games. Now, I'm not saying in any way that's predicting what might happen in the Island Games, but it's an amazing preparation. And if we can get a couple more games like that before we go away, we can get them on the Isle of Man, we can get a few people down as well, then it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Well, I'll let you go and thaw out, mate.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you very much.
Declan, a good win tonight, 2-0 against the Isle of Man team, but hopefully they gave you a bit of game.
It was a really difficult game. I was really impressed by Isle of Man. I was really impressed by their shape and the way the management have set them up. I thought their commitment and their levels of technical ability were really good. They certainly caused us a lot of problems, more problems than we've experienced in our last three pre-season games. So for us, it's been a brilliant couple of days. The game itself was so worthwhile. But in terms of our training camp this week, the way we've been treated by the local people, the hotel staff, the people here at the bowl, you know, and by Paul himself, the manager, it's been a wonderful couple of days for us. But you know, tonight we could have played a wee bit better. I was disappointed that we didn't pass the ball as well as we can. But in terms of where we're at in pre-season, it's been brilliant for us.
I have to say, I put your team sheet on Twitter before, and Paddy, obviously the Derry Pelly, as it's known, it's caused a bit of an excitement.
Look, the bottom line for us was we were down five or six bodies there. Obviously, pre-season, it's difficult, and we didn't want to take a risk. We five or six people, and you know, they have Paddy McCord stripped out with some of the younger players who was on the pitch tonight. It was fantastic, even if he's only in the warm-up. But yeah, I don't think there was ever any chance he was going to actually come on the pitch. But look, it's been, as I say, the way we've been treated on this island has been incredible. The people have been fantastic to us. The game has been really worthwhile. We're disappointed we didn't put on a better show, but when you're down six or seven of your better players, I think it was always going to be difficult for us tonight.
And anyone caught your eye from the Ironman team?
I thought everybody was good. I thought they were all excellent. I thought the way they dealt, their shape, the back three were excellent. The two wing backs I thought were very good. And the two guys that was playing up top was a real handful for us. But individually, all around the place, it was really good battles. And to be honest, there wasn't very much in the game for long periods. But, you know, we've got two or three chances. Lucky enough, we took two, but I think there's more to come from our guys. But in terms of, was I impressed with Isle of Man? Absolutely. I thought they were fantastic.
Right, Dave, yeah, so back to the, I'm going to say the domestic scene now.
It is, really. Back to the itty-gritty.
The itty-gritty of the Canal Life Premier League and JCK Division 2. We'll have a look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, starting off in the Premier League. And we should point out at this point, 2:30 kick-offs.
Are back
with a bang. A bit early, I thought. But
yeah, it's usually round half-term, isn't it? So a few weeks early, but
so obviously Tony's been out with his light meter, and he reckons that there's enough light now, so we can kick off that half an hour later at 2:30. Premier League, it's probably, with the top two not playing this week, it's fair to say it's given some of the lesser lights a chance to shine, particularly those battling the drop.
You've mentioned that in your preview. It really is all about the other end of the table, isn't it?
But I'm going to put my preview on its head, as I usually do, contradicted completely, and start off with probably the most mid-table battles on Saturday that sees St John's welcome Douglas Athletic to Mullaney Cloy.
Yeah, it's where Eric's going to go, isn't it? And this one should be close. Daff could go into it on the back of a 4-3 win over Castletown last week. They had to grind it out, but Martin Cowan got a hat-trick. He's in the latest team of the week. St John's, yeah, it's been a tough season for them, but they will hope to get something out of this game. Be interesting to see how many of their first teamers are available this time around.
Well, I mentioned in the preview, we saw it on Twitter this week, Malou have reportedly picked up Johnny Holland from St John's.
That's a big signing for them.
Big signing. Obviously, he was a massive player. He was coaching, assisting Rick Holden as a coach at the start of the season. He's now moved to Malou. He's going to be a big hole, leave a big hole in that midfield, isn't he?
Certainly will. I think with St John's, I think they've got a lot of talent in that squad. What's been mentioned a lot this year for people who've been to see them play is that the youth players are coming through, which all bodes well. Yes, it's a season of transition. Yes, it's been a hit and miss season, but it does look bright for the future. If they can keep the likes of Dean Sale and players like that going, then yeah, the future's bright for
Dean
them.
Dean Lees, I think.
James
Rice, the young goalkeeper. Yeah. There are three or four promising young lads in there. I suppose at this time of year, though, it's finding the motivation to keep playing, isn't it? They're both safely in mid-table. Douglas Athletic, I suppose, will have the carrot there, looking to beat last season's points total, aren't they? They're not far off that now.
No, they're doing really well. You know, they've had their, shall we say, mid-season blip. They had a tough run of fixtures. But the signing of Conor Dempsey seems to have reinvigorated them. I was at the reverse fixture of this. Dafka won at 5-1. It probably wasn't a 5-1 game. But obviously, St John's weren't helped by the fact that Paul Whitehead was sent off in the first half for a clash with Drew Ward. So, you know, the score doesn't tell the whole story. St John's will be looking to put that right this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot closer. But for me, I think Douglas Athletic, coming into this actually off the back of an narrow win over Castletown last week, may just have the edge in this one. And I'd favour the points returning to Springfield Road.
I would agree. Block. Yeah, and I think if the Pinks do, then it'll get them to the 30-point mark, which is a good achievement for
and
them.
And I think that takes some past. Did they get 28 last season?
Yeah, I think it was. So
yeah, well done to Craig Burvis there. The game I'm going to, I'm going to take a trip down south, Dave. Castletown Old Boys.
Oh, this could be interesting, to say the least. Castletown will probably be buoyed by that that result against... obviously, they didn't get the points in the end, but they were close to getting something off Athletic. Old Boys, where do we start with them?
It's so hard to predict. I don't know if anyone's seen the pictures on social media of Blackbeard Lane last week, but it resembles something that's been used for a ploughing match on a football pitch. That's going to take a while to recover. I'd say, though, Moran, they had the bit between their teeth, but so will Castletown this week. Yeah. They've got that incentive. Old Boys, again, as we talked about, St John's and Douglas Athletic are in that mid-table bracket where not essentially that much to play for at this time of the season. Castletown, though, set and bottom, 3 points off Laxey as you look at the table.
They're 3 points above bottom of the table, Laxey. They're 4 points behind Douglas Royal. They need to get something out of this realistically, but and they might well fancy their chances of causing us a bit of an upset here.
I remember the stats I put in my preview, which I thought were quite prevalent. Prior to Saturday, Castletown hadn't scored in four, which is a horrible statistic, you know, especially when you're trying to beat the drop. But then they scored three at the weekend, didn't they?
Jack Kamada got two of them, and it's always a big plus if he's in the team. Mm. Speaking to Craig Burvis, the DAFCA manager, he said he's full of praise for the likes of Alex Crawley, Paul Kamada, the goalkeeper. You know, they've got some really good players in that Castletown squad.
Yeah.
Old Boys, you just don't know which team's going to turn up. You know, I think they'll start as favourites in this one, and they probably should get the points, but it also wouldn't surprise me if it ended in a draw.
No, I think a draw looks likely to mean that would just give Castletown eke a little bit away from Laxey, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
Talking of Laxey, they're bottom at the moment with 3 points, just the one win to their name this season after 15 games. They travel to Corinthians this week, and it doesn't look likely they're going to get any more points after Saturday.
No, I have to say, Corinthians, surefire favourites in this one. They go into it on the back of a big, big win against their Bell Fletcher rivals, Douglas Royal, 10-2 last week, led by the likes of Dan Simpson, got himself a hat-trick. Steve Whitley got two, and also Danny Oram got a couple of goals for the first team. In that one, I can't really look past Corinthians' win, but Laxey, I think they've certainly we said it all along. They've got talented players in their squad. Joe Walters is good at causing any defence problems, but it might just be a bit too much for the Miners this weekend.
I totally agree with you there. Not really much more to add to that than as to say I think Corinthians, especially after hitting double figures last week, and still being firmly in that top hunt for the top four place. So I think the incentives of the points, the talent seems to be all with Corinthians in this one.
Yeah, there's an unfortunate note on the Corinthians win, though. Speaking to Danny McMahon, I think Chris Cannell picked up an injury again. I don't know how serious it is. Yeah. Hopefully it's only a very minor injury, just a small setback on his comeback trail.
Because that was his first team game since his injury.
Apparently played well while he was on, as you'd expect nothing less from Chris. Hopefully it's just a very minor injury for him.
One of the other teams involved in this sort of race to beat the ejector seat, I'm calling it, in the Premier League this season is Moran. They've pulled away in recent weeks. Dave, back-to-back wins has done wonders for them. They're now on 10 points.
Yeah, they're 7 points clear now. They've also got games in hand over the rest of the teams in the division, bar Old Boys. Feel good factors there. You'll see that there's several Moran players in the latest team of the week. Their defence are playing really well at the moment, and that's what it's going to be a tough day for them. Though, let's face it, their defence is going to be very busy this weekend.
So just to clarify, St George's are the visitors to Crosby this week, and St George's, who actually really impressed me against Rushen last week, Rushen unbeaten since November. St George's won 4-1, and it was some of the older heads that impressed, as well as some of them. Sid Batty was back in town, as it were, for this week. I thought he was excellent last week. Callum Morrissey looked sharp up front. Sean Quay had his usual class act at the back. Sam Kane looked good in an unfamiliar role to him of central midfield.
And so he was one of the players that stood out for you last night against Derry, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked sharp at the wing back. So he's taken over. I was sat next to Mr. Johnny Myers last night, and I was joking that Sam Kane is now Mr. Versatile for the Island, where Johnny used to be. But yeah, Sam seemingly can play in any position apart from goalkeeper, Johnny pointed out, which is where Johnny can also play.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so it all sort of points towards a St George's win. Moran, obviously, play their home pitch well. Small, it's tight.
Yeah,
they've got it. Two, three players can catapult a long throw in, and they can use their height well there.
Yeah,
so they can. They have got the weapons in their armoury to maybe cause some problems for Geordie's. But I think after last week's win, confidence is going to be high in Geordie's camp, and I think that Mal Freestone's back this week and a couple of others. So
yeah,
I'd have to favour St George's.
I totally agree. I think Moran will hope to cause them some problems, but I think the incentive for Geordie's that both Peel and St Mary's aren't playing this weekend, Geordie's will want to just get back a little bit of that ground. And should they win, they would go only, they'd be 5 points behind St Mary's, which just tightens the gap up and makes it a little bit more interesting at the top.
Yeah. Rushing, who obviously were defeated in that game at Glen Country Road last weekend, they welcomed Douglas Royal to the Croyte Lowry this Saturday. Royal, having had a nice little run,
four matches unbeaten.
Yeah, they've dropped off the cliff a bit in the last week. I think it was they've conceded 20 goals in three games.
That's a lot, and it might not get any better this weekend. Although I think, as you said, Russell were missing quite a few players last week, weren't they?
Well, I was trying to go through the squad and say Mike Williams, Steve Riding, and Jack Saxon were all missing last week, which are all big attacking players. Jordan Watson came in, did well. You know, they have got a squad down at Rushing. Obviously, they were Combi 1 winners last season,
so there
is a bit of depth there. But yes, Royal, for me, I watched them against Brown only a couple of weeks ago. They look good going forward, just not so good going backwards. And I think that's shown by the goals against Colum in the last few weeks. I can't see them really getting anything out of this one. You know, they'll cause... Ask some questions of the Russian defence. There's no doubt about that. Terry O'Gow seems to be playing really well at the moment.
Yeah, another great game last weekend. You know, Danny McMahon was full of praise for him, and he got two goals against Corinthians last week.
His pace and direct running is going to cause problems for any defence. But as you say, Russian at home will have enough about them just to get the 3 points in this one.
I agree, yeah. I think Royal might cause some problems, but yeah, Russian win.
JCK Division 2, again, just to remind you, 2:30 kickoffs on all six of the games in the second tier this weekend. Kicking off, I'm going to say, we're going to go over the mountain, Youthy Colby.
Yeah, now, I put this in my preview. I think a few weeks ago, Youthy would have been firm favourites for this one. Without a doubt, Youthy flying. I mean, they still are. They're in second place. They're only 2 points behind leaders Pulley. They're having a great season. They've only lost one all season, which is a record that only the likes of Peel and St Mary's can match. But Colby, resurgent Colby. We've mentioned that a lot recently, and they backed that up last week with a great win over Foxdale, which is a big, big blow to Foxdale's promotion hopes. But what a boost for Colby. So
yeah, no one will be wanting to face Colby in this running.
No,
they seem to be hitting their straps. They've got some of the old band back together, haven't they? And they're playing well.
They are. They brought back the experience that we've mentioned. I should also mention, though, a special mention to Elliot Lamont, who is a young 16-year-old in their team. Now, I've actually seen Elliot play. He's played alongside my stepson before, and him and his younger brother Alex, they really catch the eye. They're both very good players. Yeah. And Elliot was making his first start for Colby against Foxdale and got an assist and then scored the winner. So
not a bad way to start your senior career, is it?
Not bad at all, so well done, Elliot.
Yeah. So there'll be a handful for Youthy this week. Youthy's form has tailed off a little bit in recent weeks, hasn't it?
It has, and they'll be eager to put that right, and they go into it on the back of a big win last week. They were 12-1 against Michael. And I bet he's been unbearable in training, but Martin Murphy scored 4 goals in that game. Dan Sherry got 3, and there was also goals for Tony Corlett, Jason Crane, Steve Gross, Jason Smith and Callum Sherry. So, you know, that'll have brought the feel-good factor back to them.
After a tough couple of weeks, as I mentioned. Yeah, so I call the winners, and this one's difficult, Dave. I think I'm going to sit on the fence.
Me too.
School regarding fence and go for a draw.
Me too. Yeah. Draw.
Another tight game looks in prospect at Gary Moore as Union Mills welcome Onken, the unpredictable Onken, up to the side of the mountain, as I'm going to call it.
An unpredictable Union Mills as well. They had a good little run going, and then they lost to Pulley last week. There's certainly no shame in losing to Pulley. They are the league leaders for a reason.
I think Mills boys tweeted that actually they thought the scoreline flattered Pulley a little bit, so maybe a bit closer than the 4-1 score suggests.
Yeah, well, Mills are a good side, and they can certainly cause Onken a few problems in this. Onken themselves, they go into to this on the back of... We thought this would be a lot closer last week, didn't we? But they beat D&D
8-0. Yeah, great result, that.
So,
but I noticed Joe Rees was called up.
have said all season, he should be playing in the combi. Dale Walker got four goals, but yeah, the aforementioned Reese got two as well, so it's going to be close. I'm predicting goals.
Yeah, I think this could be an Aussie Idealist classic, this 4-3, 5-6, whatever. But yeah, I don't want to take the spoiler. Don't want to take the thunder away from Dave Reads the Weather, but if it's windy, that could act as a bit of a level up there.
It could, certainly could.
Yeah. Right, moving on. Douglaston District versus Michael United, the game Mr. Hatton's going to this weekend.
Yes, of course, he had highlights of last night's game against Derry Online as well.
Yep, on his YouTube channel.
Of course. I've said my preview. They'll certainly start as favourites. They could get their sixth win of the season this weekend. Michael, well, they're going to rot on the back of that heavy defeat to Youthy. They'll just be wanting to avoid a repeat. I don't know how much confidence will have been knocked by that result for D&D against Onkin last week. So it could be quite tight, this one, but I think the Douglaston District will be too strong.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. Obviously, we had the D&D guys in a few weeks ago, and there's something very positive, and they've threatened to pull off a few big results this season. So I think it'll be a case of just forgetting last week, moving on, and bouncing back, as Ian Dowie would say, against Michael United. Air United versus Maloo. Now, we've talked about Colby being one of those sides that could potentially catch out these teams going for promotion in the Gold Cup places, but I'm going to put Air in that bracket as well.
Yeah, we mentioned last week they've made some good signings of late, so I think they're a bit of an unknown quantity. You know, the likes of Christian Penswick, very good, experienced player. So I think that'll be a big boost to them. But Maloo, they're going into it on the back of a big win of their own, 8-2 against Governors. They're in third, they've got games in hand. If they were to win, they'd be right in the promotion mix. And that's exactly what they need. They just need to keep plugging away. And as you said, Johnny Holland signed. If he plays, what a boost in quality that is for them.
And they picked up Phil Knox the other week.
Exactly.
Great, Craig Dolman. I know Conor McDowell is now back living in Scotland, but still, Josh Clark, they've got good players.
Great players there,
through the park. And Dean Kinley's obviously earning a lot of plaudits for his goalkeeping this season after being probably their best striker in recent seasons. So,
exactly, so it's looking good for them.
Yeah, but no one ever fancies a trip to Ayr, do they?
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Tangerines got something out of this one.
I agree, but I'm going to tip Maloo. I think they'll just be too strong.
Foxdale Gyms, well, we wanted to get that loss out of the system last week. Obviously, we mentioned it already. Colby beat them last week. John Roberts, manager, will be some boys now. Just got to get it. Put that to the back of our minds and take on Jim's and come out with 3 points, hopefully, just to keep us back in that top two, top four mix.
Definitely. I mean, Jim's will certainly not be easy. They unfortunately they didn't play last week, so whether or not they're completely match sharp, I don't know. But they'll just be wanting to cause Foxdale a few problems. But you look at Foxdale's squad; it's got a lot of quality in there. We've talked about Jay when he was in, but the whole team there is good and that bounce back ability will be on show, I think, and they should prove too strong.
Governors Athletic versus Pulrose only looks like one winner to me.
Yeah, bottom versus top.
Yeah, Pulrose, I think, were quite comfortable winners in the reverse fixture, weren't they?
They were. Governors, they've got just some good players in their squad as well. On a tight pitch, you would sort of they might cause a few problems. This game takes place up at Bemmerhaig, so you never know, but Pulley with the firepower in their squad, it should be too easy for them.
And that will keep them top?
That will. They're currently 2 points clear of Youthy, but they have played a game more. So it's nice and tight there at the top.
And we should mention Ramsey's game at Ayr was a late postponement last week. I think it was called off the 5 minutes before kickoff, the scheduled kickoff. Ramsey now, I suppose, will now have a couple of games in hand, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Ramsey have played 15 as well as Maloo and Foxdale. So currently, Maloo are third on 34 points, Ramsey are then fourth on 33, and then Foxdale are fifth on 31. So it's bunched up there. They won't want to lose too many games to the weather. Obviously, you'd rather have the points on the board. But it's all set to to go right down to the wire this season, which is great to see.
Yes, both leagues look well poised at the top and bottom. So it'll be interesting to see. It's nice to have something to talk about beyond February for once.
It is.
Dave, we only had the one question this week. I don't know if we need to take this personally or not. You know, I put out on Twitter or across our social media actually this morning that it was only me and you, essentially,
yeah,
for the podcast this week. So firing any questions. We've had one in from the man, the myth, the legend, his agent Rashid.
Who was tweeting as well, wasn't he?
He was tweeting last night. He was providing the alternative tweets using an array of GIFs.
He certainly was. He is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. So please do check out his thread from last night's game. It's very funny. But yes, he sent in a couple of questions. Starting off with, who's your player of the season so far? So Dave, I'll start with you.
It's a tough one for me. And I think it is reflected in the player ratings at the moment. I think Reece Oates has been a standout player for me. He has just given an extra dimension to the Peel attack, and it's no surprise to see them flying high at the top. I think there's the obvious contenders. I mean, Jack McVeigh's getting a lot of plaudits. He's such a classy player. You've got Dan Simpson, obviously at Corinthians. I think it's one player I am looking forward to seeing play is Harry Horbury.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's getting a lot of plaudits as well. He's catching the eye. And he's in Team of the Week this week, yeah. I think. So he's one I want to see play. I haven't, unfortunately, had a chance to yet. But in terms of ones I have seen, I would probably have to just edge it to Reece Oates.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think the names you've mentioned, you can't really see beyond them. I think Jack has been a revelation, whether in midfield or at the back of St Mary's. Reece, as you say, it surprised me how well he's done this year. You know, obviously he was a good player at St John's. He's been their main goal threat for a couple of seasons, but the way he's fitted into that Peel team,
yeah, seamless,
and proved such a potent attack with Sean and Lee as well. Yeah. They dovetail each other really well. And again, I watched him last night. He just didn't stop running for the Isle of Man last night. even though he was slightly in the slightly unfamiliar role of leading the line.
Yeah.
Usually he's got some. Oh, she's playing off Sean or whoever. But yeah, no, I totally agree. And he's won Player of the Month, you know, back to back and stuff like that. So you can't really look beyond him, to be honest. But yeah, it's been nice to see some of the emergence of some of the younger players. It's been, you know, St George's written off by many, including myself, at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Jay Skelton, Maxwell, Joel Ibanez, both looked good.
Lewis Bryson as well. Bryson.
Yeah,
obviously Sid impressed you last week. As well.
Yeah, they've all looked good for that St George's team. Beyond that, some of the Douglas Royal kids, Jacob Crook
he's doing really well.
It's no surprise to me he's in that training squad, Jonesy's training squad now, because he looked really good against Moran the other week. And there have been some really good standout young talents this season.
Yeah, one of the individual performances of the season I've seen is Jack Kamada for Castletown against Royal. He ran the show in that one, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. Obviously, it was good to see him back scoring again last weekend. Is there any individual performance for you that stands out?
It's hard to, you know, I don't think I've had a week off yet this season, so I've watched a lot of football. No, it just means I've watched a lot of games, and there's some games that stand out, some games that don't. And Dan Hattersley, on his day, looks unplayable. And to outshine the likes of Josh Kelly and Mike Williams, it isn't very impressive. And when he first came back into the Manx game,
he got the hat trick against Peel, was it? I think
he looked, you know, the business, and you could tell he's played 140 National League games or whatever he's so thinking of another Lee Gale, you know, on his day,
fantastic unplayable.
And perhaps some of the heavy lifting's been taken off his shoulders this year.
It's allowed him to go on holiday all the time. He never seems to be here these days.
So, and Reece has sort of stepped in. But again, I think if you watch Peel play, Sean does, again, a lot of the spade work there as well.
Yeah, it brings other players into play.
Ties up defenders with his physicality.
Yeah.
And Falky's, you know, harnessing them three in a really potent unit up front.
Yeah, Matty Woods has had a good season as well.
Yeah, everyone was saying, as I say, I've often wondered, if Matty a right winger, is he a full back, is he a central midfielder? I've seen him playing all three roles. I still don't know quite what his role is, but when I've seen him, he always puts in a decent shift. I think maybe it's because he's getting on a bit now. Maybe right back might be his role a bit going on, Phil forward. But yeah, Daniel Bell again as well, class act, rarely races a pass, and he can just get, you know, wind up those long legs of his and start an attack out of nothing, can't he?
He can, yeah.
but we seem to have mentioned half the Premier League there.
Yeah.
So,
sorry to the rest of you.
So to answer Rashid's question, yeah, I think we're both, the three top names that Dave mentioned initially were probably the ones I'd go for as well. Right, his second question is actually really, well, an interesting one. He says, out of all the Ireland's football reporters, pundits, super agents, who could do the most keepy uppies? I personally think Clegg. And I would actually say, this is probably out of all of us, he was probably the one that had the most, I'm going to put this in inverted commas, glittering footballing career.
Yeah, hard to argue with it.
Colby Combi, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Hattie might correct me with a tweet now, but I don't think he played particularly much senior football. My football career was ended with the St John's under 14. obviously, you were in the dream team at Laxey with Mark Cavendish, but that was
I was never ever a good footballer. I made a few goal line clearances just because of my size. I was able to get away the ball. But no,
was that 14 to 16? Was it?
Yes, and I trained with the Combi for half season, and it was terrible. So.
Get a sniff at the Combi, don't?
No. Look, I was in that team at the time. I mean, obviously, this was just before Laxey won the Grand Slam.
06, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I was training with players like Screech, we've mentioned, but you had Gary Williams, players like Sam Theobald. Yeah. You know, they had a good team there anyway, so there's no chance I was getting any sort of look in. But in terms of keepy uppies,
I reckon probably the Rashid. You know, he's obviously played a bit for UC Combi back in the day. So be him or Eric, I think, would be. And obviously Eric, you know, plays a bit of tennis, keeps himself fit, always walking.
Well, Adrian Rashid was calling out Hattie for a fight at half time last night, but I think actually
it didn't happen.
I think maybe a little battle between Rashid and Eric could be.
It would be good. Yeah, maybe half time in the cup final.
There you go. Let's get this sorted.
See if we can make this happen. Yeah. From the sublime to the ridiculous, Combi Corner, Dave?
Well, the inevitable is nearly here. St Mary's should clinch the Combi 1 title this weekend. They annihilated St John's 19-0 last weekend.
Wow.
Led by 7 goals by Luke Booth. We've obviously bigged them up a bit in recent weeks. Now they only need a point against Braddon this weekend to clinch the title with 5 games to spare. With 3 games to spare. Sorry. Their nearest challenge is Peel. They were also big winners last time out. There was a sense of deja vu as well. For the second week running, Danny Lane and Aaron Costain both scored 4 goals each as they beat Braddon 11-3. Continuing the high-scoring theme, Corinthians defeated Neighbours Royal 8-4, led by Adam McCulloch's 4-goal haul. It's a popular number last week. While Geordie's proved too strong for a Russian with a 3-1 win at Croyt Larry, thanks to goals from Tom Chaffle, Jordan Corkish and Ben Wasser.
It's a good result, that, for Geordie, down at the reigning champion.
That's it. You've already alluded to this, but there was a rare Combi 2 report in this week's Examiner.
There was.
Courtesy of Rory Poole's excellent coverage of Ramsey's 8-1 win at Ayr United. So I won't steal his thunder, I won't talk about that game, but check out his report in the Examiner. Mm. Also in the north of the island, Youthy were upset by Michael United, who triumphed by the odd goal in 7 at Scullery Gorrie, helped by Damien Owens' brace. Mm. Leaders Onken's game at D&D was postponed, and that has allowed Unimills to move up above D&D up to 2nd after edging past Pulley 4-3. Sean Traylor grabbed a couple, Lee Christian and Chris Aspton also grabbed the goals. And Maloof moved up to 5th following a good 5-1 win at Governors Athletic. Mark Hargreaves and Jordan Kreitner both twice, while Ryan Douglas also scored.
Thank you very much, Dave. Dave, are you together?
Believe it or not, it's going to be cold. Pretty cold this weekend.
It's been cold enough now. Be colder or the same cold?
Can you feel your fingers yet, mate?
I didn't wear gloves last night.
Rookie.
I was just so I pointed this out on Twitter. I was quite shocked. Only one of the 20 outfield players on a show at kickoff had gloves on last night.
Bloody hell, really?
And I have to say, the Derry lads, I think only one wore skins, and they were all in short sleeves. The other man still rocking the long sleeves kit.
So forget Roy Keane turning up at Notts Forest training this week, but just wearing shorts. It's all about the bowl and the hardy bunch down there.
And the hardy bunch from Derry, as well, yeah. But so there's only one player wore gloves.
Brave. Oh,
so go on, hit us with your weather.
It's obviously going to stay very cold over the weekend, but fortunately it's going to stay mostly dry. There's only going to be a few isolated wintry showers here and there till Sunday. It will be a lot more persistent then with sleet and snow on higher ground. So whether or not that affects the Sunday games, obviously there's 2 Women's League and 2 Masters games. due to take place. But Saturday, just a question of frozen pitches, really. Hopefully they've all survived the weather. And yeah, you've mentioned it, there will be a bit of wind on high ground, but it hopefully shouldn't be too cumbersome.
I was going to say, the frozen pitches, I suppose, the downside of that will be if there's any bit of cut up last week. The divots and what have you will have frozen. So,
yeah.
So, what are you giving us, your prediction of postponements?
15%.
You've gone for that before, if I remember.
I have, and I was very close last time. So.
Well, before we go, in this abridged version of the Manx 40 Podders, just congratulate Corinthians for picking up the Nedbank Women's Floodlit Cup last week. Another extra time thriller.
They certainly did. 2-0 against Rivals Royal.
I think we did, when we did the stats pack, Hattie stats pack last week, I think we said that 8 had gone to extra time prior to that. So we shouldn't really be surprised that this was nearly the 9th in 20 Floodlit Cup finals that had gone to the additional 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it was Laura Christian and Casey Hussle that got the goals for them. Hattie's covered it brilliantly in the Examiner. Check out his reports. But he says it completed a decade of dominance for Corinthians. They've had a fantastic decade, haven't they?
Yeah, they've won a trophy. I think the point he was trying to make, they've won a trophy every year, haven't they?
Yeah, which is an incredible feat, really. Yeah. And they've now, haven't they matched Royals' number of trophies as well, I think? So, well done to Corinthians.
Before we go again, the Alaman FA's under-16 team are away to play Preston North End and Connors Keys Academy sides this weekend, so good luck to them.
Good luck to them, yeah.
Mark Watson's squad. I'm sure there'll be updates on the Alaman FA's social media pages about that trip. That's about it for this week, Dave. At this point, we usually thank our guests for coming in, but obviously it's only me and you here. Thanks for coming in, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Andy. It's been a pleasure, as always, and hopefully someone's tuned in.
I'm sure the lack of guests will be reflected in our listening figures.
And the quality as well, yeah.
Right, remember you can listen to all our back catalogue, which now numbers, I think this might be 79 we've done now. I think by now we've been getting the hang of it, wouldn't you?
No chance.
Yeah, they're all at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. But of course, you can also find them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and Google Podcasts. Until next week.
Bye for now.